Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Kia ora everybody, I'm Jordan, host of the Kiwi Birth Tales podcast. It's my hope that you find support and comfort in these stories, and I'm really looking forward to bringing you today's episode. Just a reminder before we get started that these are personal experiences and you should always seek medical advice before making any important decisions. I'm not an advocate for any particular model of birth or birth care, and this is simply a platform to share these empowering Kiwi birth tales with you all. In today's episode, I'll be speaking with Alana about the birth of her son, Duncan. Alana has a really lovely episode where she used hypnobirthing techniques and she ended up giving birth in a birth center. I'll let Alana take you through the rest of her story and I hope you enjoy it. Hi, Alana. Thanks so much for joining me on the podcast today.
You're welcome, Jordan. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
No problem. Do you want to tell our listeners a little bit about you and your family?
Yeah, for sure. So I'm Alana. My partner's Gareth. We've got a 14-month-old Duncan and a fur baby who's a Kelpie cross Luna, and we live in Stanmore Bay, which is just north of Auckland.
Oh, lovely. And what was the journey like to pregnancy for you guys?
We are those annoying people. We have quite a few friends who have struggled or not been able to get pregnant. And I was quite conscious, I'm in my 30s, I was quite conscious that I didn't want to leave it for too long. And so Gareth and I had quite a large trip planned to the UK. And he was like, oh no, I think we need to wait a couple of months just in case, you know, like you're too pregnant when we travel sort of thing. And he was right. We literally got pregnant the first month of trying, so much so that I actually didn't expect that I was pregnant. And the first two tests I did were false negatives. You know how there's like that little testing strip on the pregnancy test, and you're supposed to wait to check that says, yes, it's okay. I was like, the next day I was like, I just still feel funny. And then I was like, oh, hang on, there's that little like testy thing. And I went back to check it and I was like, oh no. So third time was the charm, and found out that I was pregnant after kind of, you know, like the night before going, oh, well, I thought maybe I was pregnant, but it must just be the flu. And then Gareth goes off to work, and then that afternoon I'm sort of sat there going, oh, I've got to wait for him to get home from work now to tell him. So it was the longest 4 hours of my life.
Yeah. And did you have many early symptoms, or you just felt a bit nauseous and flu-y?
Nauseous and tired. No one had warned me about the exhaustion. So right up until about week 12 or 13, it was just like a truck had hit me, and I'm quite a high energy person, so I really, really struggled with that. But I was pretty lucky in that after kind of 12 weeks, I sort of started to feel about 70% back to my usual self, and by week 16, I was kind of right back to sort of being me again. So I was really lucky.
Yeah, awesome. And you didn't have many other pregnancy symptoms after that?
No. I sort of got you know, the achy hips probably from about week 30 onwards. But other than that, nothing at all. So I was very lucky.
Yeah. Awesome. And did you have a plan of where you thought you might want to deliver?
Well, I'm one of those people that I do a lot of life, like as it comes to it. And I'm like, oh, you know, like birth I'll get to. But one of my really good friends, when I ran to tell her that I was pregnant, she was like, oh, perfect. I've been waiting for someone to give this hypnobirthing book to. Here, you can take it because you're such a control freak. It'll be really good for you. And I was like, what's this about? And so I started reading the book and decided to sign up for, you know, like a course on it. And it was the best thing that we ever did, because what I worked out through that is I actually wasn't particularly keen on the idea of going to hospital. I hate hospitals. They smell funny. They make you feel funny. And my grandma had been diagnosed with melanoma with about 11 weeks of my pregnancy to go. So for me, every time I went to the hospital to visit her, it was just this really negative connotation. And I was like, that to me just didn't feel right to bring my baby into the world in that same sort of, you know, environment. So in my mind, I switched to, well, if me or the baby's life is in danger, then we will definitely go to hospital. But if I'm fit, I'm healthy, I've had absolutely no complications, let's go for the birthing center. And so we went up to visit Warkworth Birthing Center, and it's just amazing. Like, it's set in this beautiful rural outlook, and you know, I just straight away, I was just like, yep, this is where I'm going to give birth. And all of a sudden, once I had just decided that, it was like something switched inside me, and the rest of my pregnancy, I just felt really empowered. Like, I was actually looking forward to giving birth, as weird as most of my friends found that. So yeah, it was really positive.
Yeah, awesome. And did you go to any antenatal classes or a hypnobirthing class or anything like that before you went into labor?
Yeah, so we did a fabulous hypnobirthing course by a lady named Helen, who runs a course under Positive Births. And that was a series of, I think it was 6 weeks. So it was Sunday evenings for 6 weeks. Quite a small class. I think there were five or six of us couples. And it was absolutely fabulous. Just went into, I guess, a lot of information about how, if you get your mind out of the way, your body just knows what to do when it comes to pregnancy and birth, because it's what we've been, you know, like, designed to do biologically. And just some of the tips and techniques, you know, like, I still find really helpful now, you know, like, if I'm feeling quite frazzled or the little man hasn't slept, you know, a lot of it's just about just calming yourself down, getting your thoughts out of the way. And so I just found that so valuable that after talking to a few friends, they said I didn't get much out of my antenatal classes other than meeting some cool people. And so I decided that, you know, like, the hypnobirthing classes were going to be enough for us. And they were fabulous.
Yeah. Awesome. And did you end up going into labor naturally? Do you want to talk us through that experience?
Yeah. So I was working quite close up until when I was due. So Duncan was due on the 3rd of January, and on the Thursday before I went into labor, so this was at just over 37 weeks, I went to visit my grandma, and she said to me, "Alana, I don't know how much longer I can hang on, so this baby better hurry up." I said, "Grandma, don't worry. There's no way he's coming in January. There's no way baby's coming," because we didn't know what we were having. "There's no way baby's coming in January. Baby's going to be here soon. You just hang on in there." And that was on the Thursday. And on the Friday, I woke up feeling a bit funny, went into work, and just as the morning kind of progressed, I just felt odder and odder and odder. And then sort of had my show arrive at work, and I was like, "Oh, heck, maybe this is it, or maybe it's just a dress rehearsal. Oh, I suppose I better get Gareth to come pick me up, because I don't trust myself to drive home." And so I then rang my midwife, because at that point I had such an uncomplicated pregnancy. We were still on fortnightly visits, and we hadn't even sorted out a birth plan. So I then called her, and I was like, "Karen, this is what happened." She said, "Oh, no, you'll be fine. First time, mum. It's just dress rehearsal. Go home, put your feet up, take it easy. Maybe you won't go into work next week, but it'll just be a dress rehearsal, and I'm not working with the weekend. But if by 9 o'clock tonight, if there's a real pattern to it, probably isn't a dress rehearsal, so call my back up." And I was like, "Oh, okay, cool. Well, maybe it's practice. That's cool." And so I went home. And because I was so convinced it wasn't real labor, we were supposed to have a bump shoot on the Saturday. And so I'm sat there painting my nails, getting ready for these pictures to be taken. And I'm cracking up laughing, saying to Gareth, "I bet you this, you know, like, I'm the only person who's actually painting their nails as they're starting to go into labor." And fair enough, it actually was real labor. So, yeah, so that was kind of the start of it.
Yeah. And how did things progress from there? Do you want to take us through the rest of your labor and then into your birth story?
Yeah, for sure. So I'm quite good at doing what I'm told. So by 9 o'clock, when I had a pattern, I called the backup midwife, and it was such an odd conversation. She basically told me off for calling her. And I was a bit flabbergasted, because I'm like, the midwife is supposed to be, you know, like, your person, and they're supposed to be all warm and fuzzy and caring, and she's telling me off like I'm an 8-year-old. And so it was really odd. But part of the technique that I have found really helpful with hypnobirthing is there were these series of positive affirmations, and one that really stood out to me as I kind of listened to this playlist every day while I was doing yoga. And this one that stood out to me was, I'm prepared to calmly meet whatever turn my birthing takes. And so I was like, okay, this is where the rubber hits the road. I just took a deep breath and just thought of that. And it did, it just kind of steadied the course. So I went out and I said to Gareth, oh, well, look, the backup midwife told me off for calling, but that's okay. Cause you know, like whatever happens, we'll be cool. So yeah, I think I should probably go to bed now. And then I've got to call her. I'm just telling you now in case I get too much in the zone. We've got to call her when they're, you know, 3 minutes apart and lasting for a minute long. Have you got that app on your phone? And he's like, yeah, I've got it ready to go. Cool. And so we went to sleep, managed to go to sleep. Then woke up at 2:30 in the morning. And my waters had broke. I found out later it was only partially, which is why, you know, like I was able to go back to sleep and woke up at about 6:30. And the biggest thing I was worried about was, Gareth, can you take the dog for a walk? Because in a couple of hours, I think the rubber's going to hit the road and I'm really going to need your help. So he took the dog for a walk. I jumped in our spa pool because the water for me was just really relaxing and I knew I wanted to have a water birth. So that's kind of what I did. And I had, you know, a hypnobirthing playlist on just to, you know, keep me in the zone and really calm, and it was fabulous. And he came back and a couple of hours later we were sort of at that, you know, the point that we called the midwife, at which point she said, I've been up all night delivering, so I'm going to call you another backup. And at that point I was like, oh cool, we're on the backup. I was like okay, whatever happens. And the good news is that my midwife agreed to come in. And so she came to our house, came to check me out. And then because we hadn't actually had the chance to have a visit before I'd gone into labor, she's like, oh, so, the bad news is your blood test came back and you've got, you tested positive for group strep B. And because your waters broke at 2:30, unless we get your antibiotics, there's a slight chance that the baby could catch it. So we've got to get you those antibiotics. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. I'll take a tablet. And she's like, oh no, intravenous antibiotics. I'm like, oh, you are joking me. And so she's like, so we're going to take you to the hospital. I'm like, oh, Karen, I don't want to go to the hospital. Can the birthing center do it? And she was like, I'll ring and ask, but I don't think that they will. Anyway, she rang and asked. They could do it. And so she's like, right, let's get in the car. And then as we're driving, she then calls to say, there's been a crash, so it's 2 hours to walk with, so I just need you to just meet me at the hospital. And I'm like, okay. And sat in the back of the car, you know, like breathing through these contractions, you know, I'm prepared to calmly meet whatever happens. And I'm like, Gareth, we're going to the hospital. And he's like, oh, okay. And so I could feel that he was starting to get worried, but I was just so calm. The kind of like the hypnobirthing techniques were really kicking in. And so it was an interesting drive down to North Shore Hospital. It's about a 45-minute drive from here. And then walking into the hospital, it was a bit different from a couple of weeks previous when I'd been in to see my grandma and I was getting looks when I wasn't getting out on the maternity ward. So this time when I was getting out on the maternity ward, it felt a little bit more like, okay, I'm in the right place now. So get into the room and my midwife was basically gobsmacked by how bad my veins were. So I hate needles, part of why I also didn't want to give birth in a hospital. And I wanted to have as much of a natural labor as possible. And she takes one look at my veins and she's like, oh, Lana, no wonder you didn't want to be in a hospital. I wouldn't want to be here with veins like that either. And so basically Gareth said she was basically hacking at me. I'm sure she wasn't, but he said he just about had to leave the room and he was amazed that I was so calm because I just kind of was like, oh, okay, do you want to try the other wrist? Oh, okay. And then another hospital midwife came in and she took one lock and went, I'm not touching those. We've got to wait for the registrar. And so they went to get the registrar and because he was off delivering another baby, I was just, you know, sat there laboring away, waiting, listening to, you know, the playlist, kind of breathing through, and Gareth is just like, oh my gosh, this is actually working. Like the normal you would be losing the plot right now. And so yeah, they got me onto the antibiotics. At that point they also hooked me up to some fluids as well, because Karen was like, hey, you've been laboring for a while, let's just keep your fluids nice and high because it'll help later on, you know. And then once we sort of was through that, she checked me. I was about 6.5 centimeters by then, and she was like, oh, that's still a little bit too not far along enough to go to Warkworth. So if you you got two options, we can stay here and you can just keep labouring here, or you can go home and then, you know, I'll kind of give you some guidance as to when to call me, and then you can then go to Warkworth from there. And at that point, I was just like, I just want out of the hospital. I wanted out of the sterile environment and the white room and the artificial lighting. And I just wanted to be lying on the couch looking out at the trees. And so that's basically, I didn't think that I'd be up for another car ride, but I just lay down on the back seat of the car and just breathed my way all the way home. And it felt like from when we got home, it was about 15 minutes before the midwife came back. Gareth says it was more like an hour to an hour and a half. So one of the things that they talk about in hypnobirthing is that if you get your mind out of the way, there's this time distortion and time will compress. And so true. I didn't think that it was possible, but it is so true. I thought everything flew by. And, you know, Gareth was the real timekeeper, sort of afterwards telling me how long everything did take. Karen came back and she's like, whoa, Elena, okay, you were basically, I think at that point I was 8 centimeters. She's like, so you can go to Warkworth, but your waters didn't fully break. So if they break in the car, it's going to be just like, you're just going to want to push like nobody's business, and you can't. I can't have you pushing until you get to the birthing center and until I know that you're ready to go. Can you do that, or do you want to have baby here? Because it's, you know, it's safe as, you're doing really well. And I was like, can I jump in the spa? And she's like, no. I'm like, okay, we're going to walk with him because I want to be in the water. And so she's like, okay, but you've got to go now. And it was just because she'd been so nice and warm and soft like the whole day. And then the way she said, you've got to go now, like something just like switched to me and Gareth, and we're like, oh my God, this baby's coming. Oh. And so we're like, quick, feed the dog. Okay, what do we need? Grab the hospital bag. Like, let's go. And I was just like, okay, baby, you and me can do this. Like, I was just like, you and me can do this. We can get to walk with it without pushing. I trust you and I trust my body. And I was like, literally just lying in the back of the car. It felt like I only had about 3 contractions. It was like, by giving myself just that pep talk, I actually tricked my body into just going, just hold fire. And so it was an interesting drive. Because once again, I thought it was about, you know, 15 minutes long. There's a tunnel that you go through on the way up to Warkworth, and Gareth's like, okay, we're through the tunnels. And I was like, oh, cool. It's only 10 minutes up the road. And he's like, what's wrong with you? You're so chill about this. This is weird. And then we get to Warkworth, and I had to, walk across the car park, and, you know, there's a few houses around, and I'm in this tunic that really should have had leggings under it. You know, one of those maternity tunics. And all I could think was, this just looks so wrong. Like, here's me waddling on in, breathing through these contractions, stopping and, you know, kind of like leaning on Gareth in the middle of the car park, breathing through a contraction. And all I'm thinking about is, oh, I hope people can't see my bum. So it was pretty funny. And then, yeah, we got into the birthing suite at Warkworth. That already, my midwife had rung ahead, so they'd already run the, you know, the birthing pool for me. And so I just literally just jumped in the water. And that was about 5 o'clock. And it just instantly, I just was like, oh, yes, you know, like this is going to be fine. Duncan was born at just before 9 o'clock. So it was kind of another couple of hours of laboring. And then I think it was probably about an hour and a half of pushing. And right at the end, I was so mad at myself because I hadn't actually eaten anything all day because I hadn't felt like it. And I was like, oh, this is what you're supposed to eat. Because I literally, like, I was just like, they're like, push, but you know, like baby's head's right there. And I could, you know, I could feel his head. And I was just like, I hear what you're saying, but I'm all out. Like, I've got no more oomph. You know, like she really got into business mode, and she's like, right, that's it. Get out of the pool. If you're not going to do this, we're going to sit you on the loo. We're going to get some gravity helping you. And she just like went into like this real business like mode. And it was exactly what I needed because it just got me really, really focused. In the end, I needed to have an episiotomy just to help him out. His heart rate started dropping. A little slice, and out he came. And then he was a boy, which was wonderful because we didn't know what we were having. So it was absolutely, it was just mind-blowing, just that second that he was out and just placed on my chest. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's real. I'm a mum. It was just wonderful.
Yeah, beautiful. What a lovely story. And how big was he when he was born?
3.35 kilos at 7 pounds six. So he, I think they must have got my dates wrong because there's no way he was 2.5 weeks early. He was, yeah, spot on where he needed to be. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, awesome. And did he latch on initially?
He was keen as right from the get-go, and sort of spent basically that whole evening sort of latched on to me. The great thing with the Warkworth Birthing Centre is they are just there. So basically from the birthing suite, we literally, you know, like I had a shower after having that skin-to-skin time with him. And like I think probably we had an hour with him before they took him off me, got him cleaned up, weighed him and all of that. So that's pretty cool. And then I had a shower while Gareth had some skin-to-skin time. And then literally we just walked down the hallway and into our room. And then, you know, like they sort of come in through the night to see how you're going, is baby latching, how's it going, do you need any help, you know, basic stuff like, do you know how to do the nappies, do you know, like all of that sort of stuff. So yeah, so he was pretty good. On about day two, we're sort of, he wasn't so mad keen, and I needed a little bit of help then with getting him latched on. And so that was, it was a bit like wrestling an octopus. Like he kind of like didn't know what to do with his arms. And like, you know, you're trying to put yourself, your body in this really weird space. And we got there, and you know, like I'm still feeding him now. So yeah, we had a pretty good feeding journey actually. I didn't have some of the, like lots of my friends had, you know, like really bad cracked nipples and lots of pain like that. I didn't have anything like that. Like that, like they were sore. Don't get me wrong. Those, you know, gel pads are your best friend, man. If you put them in the fridge, whew, they're really good. But what I did get was this really random, like a let down nerve strain. And so I'd kind of get like this stabbing pain, kind of arching out either way from a nipple when he would first latch on, but after a couple of weeks that sort of subsided. I guess it's like any muscle, it's just, you know, it's being used in a way it's never been used before. So yeah, other than that, we had a really smooth feeding journey.
Awesome. And how long did you spend in the birthing centre before you went home?
We were at Warkworth for I want to say 3 nights. One of the things that was really cool though is obviously because my grandma was really touch and go, I had asked them on, so he was born on the Saturday night. On the Monday, because I was kind of feeling so good on the Sunday, on the Monday I said, hey, is there any chance that I could take him to meet his great-grandma because we don't know how long he's got? And they were like, oh, do you want to check out early? And I was like, oh, I was kind of hoping I could go down and come back. And they were like, oh, we don't usually let people do that because, you know, like if you hemorrhage or anything, you know, you're on our watch and, you know, that would be on us. But the midwife on duty was wonderful. And she's like, but you know what? I don't want that on my head that he didn't get to meet his great grandma. So let me see if I can clear it. And yeah, she made it all kind of good from a background perspective. And on the Tuesday, we took him down to meet my grandma. So that kind of, made my entire family really, 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 really happy. And yeah, it was a really beautiful moment. Yeah. Them meeting. And we basically spent after we got home on the, so we must have gone home on the Wednesday, basically every day or every second day we were going down to take him down to see grandma. So it was pretty full on to be doing that because, you know, it was about a 45-minute trip each way. And when you've just given birth, sitting in a car for that length of time isn't always the most fun thing. But it was the right thing to do. And, you know, like I don't regret it for a second. It was tiring for sure, but it just meant that they got so much time together over those next 10 days before she passed away. And you just, you know, that was just so special. And, you know, like, He's got an awful lot of kudos with my extended family for arriving early, and being able to brighten her last days that much. So it was pretty cool.
Awesome. And how did you go recovering from birth physically? I know you said you had an episiotomy. So what was your recovery like from that and just from giving birth in general?
I was really lucky. I had stayed really active right through my pregnancy, you know, like still walking the dog and doing yoga most days. And so I definitely think that that helped. My midwife was amazed how quickly my abs knitted back together. By 6 weeks, they were, you know, just about that gap had closed back up, and so she was pretty impressed with that. My stitches healed really well. So yeah, I was pretty lucky.
Yeah. Awesome. And how did you go adjusting emotionally to life as a newborn mum? I know you said you were driving back and forth to the hospital, but also when you were at home and overnight, how were you adjusting to that?
Yeah, so because I'd sort of psyched myself up for hardly any sleep, to start with, he was pretty good. Like, he was 4 hour feeding through the night, and that was definitely handleable. My partner was also off for the first month, so that made a huge difference. We basically had this great little system in place, which was I fed him and then I passed him over to Gareth and he burped him and then settled him back to sleep. So that was it was pretty cool. We were tired, but we were like in this lovely little bubble of just, you know, just the three of us just getting to know one another. And it was just so cool. It was a bit of a shock when Gareth went back to work. You know, I think the first night that he came in the door, I was like, here's the baby, I'm going, I need some fresh air. I'm taking the dog, bye. And, you know, so I think that was a little bit of adjustment. For me personally, those first few months were, he was a dream baby. He was chilled. It wasn't colicky. He, you know, fed well, was easy to burp, settled really easily. For me, it was kind of month 6 through 9 that were really tough because he at that point was still waking 4 hourly through the night. And I was like, no one warned me about this. And I don't know if some of it might have been delayed sort of grief from grandma, or it might have been some postnatal depression that kicked in at about month 6. And to me, that was a real shock because I had sort of, you know, like I knew what to look out for. And in the early days, Plunkett's asking you and your midwife's asking you and everyone's checking in on you. By month 6, people stop asking. And so it felt really isolating to sort of be like, hey, I'm finding it hard now, because it kind of felt like I was really failing to stick up my hand and be like, I'm struggling, help. And that would be one piece of advice that I would sort of give to other mums, is it doesn't matter where you're at, there'll be someone feeling like you are. So find your tribe, find a support group. It might be online, it might be a friend, it might be, you know, your mum, and just be like, hey, today was tough. And it's okay that today was tough. Can you please tell me I'm not a bad mum? Because here's the 17 reasons I'm beating myself up this hour. So I think that that was a bit of an adjustment. I sort of hadn't quite been aware how much mum guilt was a real thing. And I'd been expecting, you know, that, I guess that series of feelings to hit it sort of, you know, quite early on. And because he was such a great baby for those first few months, I was like, oh, I'm, you know, like I must have this sorted, like, yay me. And then I kind of was like, oh no, actually everyone goes through this. Like it's okay. So yeah, it was a huge dose of humility. But you know, like I had some great people rally around me. And, you know, lots of other people then say the same thing. Yeah, no, I had the same thing. My baby was great until month 5, or my baby was great until month 10. And I was quite lucky in that a lot of my friends have already had their children, so they have sort of already worn the battle scars to pass them on to me. So I definitely found that really helpful. Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. And just as we sort of wrap up, I'm curious, I think you'd definitely recommend hypnobirthing to others out there, but do you think that that was something that really helped you through your birth, and you would guide
Absolutely,
others to at
yeah.
least look
I,
into?
I, for me personally, I found it fabulous. I naturally lean towards yoga. I found meditation to be really helpful since I've become a mum. So for me personally, it just really resonated with my values, which was to trust that my body knew what it was doing. And so if I could get the worry out of my mind, then you know, I would be fine. And to me, that was just really, really empowering. So I think, you know, if nothing else, you know, like read the book, there's a fabulous book, or, you know, look up and find out if there's a hypnobirthing series of courses somewhere near you, or just ask around, you know, and see, has someone else had a great experience? Because that definitely helped me. I heard from a few people who had either, you know, friends or family had used hypnobirthing techniques, and they did find it really, really helpful. So to me, I was like, oh, good, it's not just the book saying that it's going to work. It does work in real life. And so that definitely helped, knowing that it worked for real people.
Yeah. Okay, perfect. Well, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today, Alana.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Kiwi Birth Tales podcast. I really hope you enjoyed it. I'd love to hear your feedback. So either leave a review on the podcast app that you're listening on, or head to our Instagram at Kiwi Birth Tales and leave a comment there. If you're interested in sharing your birth tale, then please head to the Instagram page and use the email link to get in touch. Thanks again for listening. I really look forward to sharing the next episode with you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.